This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We're doing philanthropy on the program this week, big philanthropy in particular, donors who have a lot to give, which is coincidentally what we're calling our series. We covered some of the criticisms that big philanthropy gets yesterday, both over the causes they support and the cost of the tax deductions that they get. Today, the edge philanthropy sometimes has over government in getting things done. Wealth and Poverty reporter Noel King has the story.
I'm standing on the side of the Hutchinson River Parkway in New York State. Today, the Hutch is a four-lane highway, but back in the 1950s, highways only had lines running down the middle of the road. So at night or in bad weather, drivers clung to the center, dangerously close to each other. The story goes that one night, a rich man named John Doerr was driving with his wife, and she says, "Why don't we paint lines on the outside of the road as well, effectively creating driving lanes?" Doerr pitches the idea to highway commissioners in New York and Connecticut, and they test it out right here on the Hutchinson. It reduced accidents by a lot, but it was expensive. So Doerr used money from his own foundation to conduct more tests in Rhode Island, Ohio, New Jersey, and to advocate for his idea. Over time, he won. And that is why we drive in lanes on the road today. Tom Tierney is co-founder of the nonprofit Bridgespan Group. Its goal is to help philanthropists get better results. Tierney says John Doerr's lines in the road illustrate some of the advantages that philanthropy has over the government.
No one would suggest that government can turn on a dime, can start things and stop things and adapt things very quickly. Philanthropy at its best is highly entrepreneurial and it's inventive, it's innovative.
He says there's a difference between this type of philanthropy and traditional charity. That idea goes back a century, when two of the world's richest men, John D. Rockefeller and Andrew Carnegie, were struggling to define what modern philanthropy should be. Judith Roden is president of the Rockefeller Foundation.
We found many, many letters in our archives between the two of them wrestling with this question. Is what we are trying to accomplish something different than charity? And Rockefeller wrote, "We don't want to put bandages on weeping wounds. Philanthropy is about trying to solve problems at their root causes."
The foundation is still drilling down into root causes. And today's problems are big ones. Michael Berkowitz is managing director of a new Rockefeller Foundation initiative called 100 Resilient Cities.
100 years ago, 1 in 10 people lived in cities. Now over 50% of the world's population does. And by 2050, predictions are that 3 out of 4, 75% of the world's population is going to live in cities.
So when a city has a problem, like a hurricane or sectarian violence, it affects not thousands, but millions of people. Which is where the 100 Resilient Cities initiative comes in. Here's Michael Berkowitz.
And this idea of resilience, of really bouncing back more quickly, of being an adaptable organization that is able to weather unforeseen shocks and stresses, this is still a relatively new idea and certainly a new practice.
The Rockefeller Foundation is choosing 100 cities across the world and trying to help them become more resilient. They're working with city governments to create a whole new job.
The chief resilience officer, you can think of him as mayor minus one, and we're going to pay their salaries for 2 years. In 20 years, we would hope that a city wouldn't run its operations without a chief resilience officer any more than they would do it without a chief of police.
The first batch of cities to get a resilience officer, including Medellin, Ramallah, and Jacksonville, Florida, are struggling with everything from chronic inequality to rising sea levels, problems that are going to take more than a year or two to fix. And here's another advantage that philanthropy has over government. In 20 years, the Rockefeller Foundation will be around to see if its plan is working. I might even be able to check in with Michael Berkowitz and ask him, does every city have a chief resilience officer? Rob Reich, who co-directs Stanford's Center for Philanthropy and Civil Society, says, unlike your average mayor, a foundation can't be voted out of office.
They're set up purposely to exist in perpetuity. So they have, well, an eternal time horizon. They have endowments which are meant to exist for a long time. So you can think over the 10-year haul or the 20-year haul.
Or the 97-year haul. I'm standing outside the Cahuenga branch of the Los Angeles Public Library, just up the street from my house. Andrew Carnegie, using money from his foundation, built this and about 1,700 other libraries all across the country.
It turned out they were super popular with citizens, who then didn't turn to the Carnegie Foundation for funding of every single library across the country, but turned to their either local city or town or state to create funding, and that became just a regular part of the public infrastructure.
Riche says a few years ago, California was having trouble funding its public libraries, and there was some suggestion that maybe foundations and philanthropists should pitch in. To him, that's a step backward. The job of a foundation, he says, isn't to bail out its old successes, but to find and fund new ones. I'm Noel King for Marketplace.